All right, guys. No.
How do I... Shoot, it's been a long time. Hang on, I'll get there.
Hey, you're listening to In the Barn. And I just did a horseshoe in the air like on the Disney Channel. Oh no, what is that? No. I'm Kelsey and you're listening to In the Barn.
And they have the Disney music too.
Yeah, and then you do the little like boop, boop with the wand. Boop, boop. But mine's just a hoof. I'm not doing the Disney ears. I'm just doing the hoof. Just boop.
All right, guys. Well, as I'm sure you've heard by this point, welcome back to another episode of In the Barn. I'm sure you're surprised to be here. Just we're surprised too. I'm Robin.
And I'm Kelsey. And in today's episode, we're going to be catching up on what we've been doing, why we've been away, and sharing our experience with our bitless bridal conversion.
Since we've recorded an episode.
It has been, and I would like to put all that responsibility on Robin. That's her fault.
Okay, did not see that one coming. I'd like to turn the blame right back around and point the finger at you. I would say it was a dual effort.
I would say I have a full-time job, so none of this is my fault.
You had people in town last week that made it so we couldn't record. I was all ready to go, and you were like, can't do it, Hondo, can't do it.
Well, you had people in town, too.
Shh! This is not about me right now. This is about you at fault.
I step aside, and I did not take the fault. The fault is on you. It's not on me. I'm perfect and infallible.
Okay, sure. More or less, just life got in the way, I think, you know? That and researching and stuff takes a long time, and I don't know, we just kind of fell out of the rhythm of things for a while, so we'll see if we can get back into the swing of it. I won't sit here and make false promises to you, because let's all be honest, it's hit or miss if there'll be an episode next week following this one. It's probably more likely that we'll be doing, I'm thinking more every other week, but also don't hold me to that, I don't know.
So
I don't know.
I will throw into the mix that, like, first off, it's summer. Even though the days are longer, they feel like you're doing more, like you're going more, where in the winter you're, like, at home more. Does that make sense? Like, I'm away from my house a lot more, so I don't have the time to research. And I will be having to go back to work in, like, another week and a half, so I'm really sad about that. So I won't be, my commute, I'll have a nice long commute, and I'll have a nice long day in the office, and then another nice long commute. So we'll have to figure out how I'm going to squish researching in there. So we will see what happens. There may be an adjustment period that we're going to have to work through.
Because we started this in July last year, so COVID was in full swing. And now, like, having to readjust to the world opening back up.
It's exciting because I can now no longer hide my acne and disgusting face under a mask. I mean, I can still choose to do that, but I also choose not to do that. I'm just excited to, like, smile at people again because, like, I never am fast enough. My body's not fast enough to, like, wave at someone that waves at me. So I'm, like, a smile, like, a nod situation because I, like, can't wave in time. But it's really awkward when you have a mask on and everyone just thinks you're, like, dagger eyeing them, and they're like, hey,
you just squint really
hard, and you're like
look, it's a smile,
like, I swear I'm smiling. I know you can't tell, but I am smiling under here. I'm not a jerk.
Do we have any other excuses we want to make for why we haven't posted, or are we good to move on?
Because we lazy? I don't know.
That's the truth of it all.
It's life happens, and we've got other things we're doing, and I'm sorry. I love this podcast, and I love sharing the research and doing the research because I love learning the most. And yeah, just things happen.
All right, you want to get into our bitless bridal journeys?
Sure.
It's been a long, bumpy road.
Actually, it hasn't been that bumpy. Like that, it's been pretty smooth from my side of the arena. It's been pretty smooth. So I'm sorry that you've had some bumps, but like, My horse adapted fairly easily. It did take a few tries. Addie doesn't like it. I guess if I was trying to get the situation sorted on Addie, I would still be, the first try didn't work.
Wait, did the first try work with Nim?
Yeah, the first try. So for, I guess I can just start there. So I think I've discussed this before, but for Nim, I bought a wheel hackmore. So there's like 101 different styles of them. The wheel hackmore or the flower hackmore, the sundial. Like there's a ton of different patterns you can get. Some of the patterns are just decorative and don't really like add anything. Some of them do add, like the flower is a bunch of little circles all attached into a big ring where the wheel is like a bunch of little slits that make like a wheel shape. There's also ones that are like more or less wheely, like the have spokes and stuff. Basically what it is, it's the ring. You end up buying two rings, and some of them are sold with a nose band and chin piece. Some are not. You have to go buy those separately, but they are rings that are about like 3 inches across, and they act basically as a side pull. Some of them do have a little bit more leverage depending how you set it up. The flower one is pretty commonly has an extra ring at the bottom, so that you have like the big ring and then you have an additional one at the bottom you can attach your ring to for even more leverage. But the wheel hackmore basically acts as a side pull, so it has almost no leverage. There is some leverage, like I said, depending how you set it up, you can put your reins a little bit lower and that will act just ever so slightly. And then when it does add leverage, it adds just a tiny amount of pull pressure, but it's basically a very simple hackmore design. And so that's what I started on Nim. The reason I bought it is because it seemed really simple and you can change out the nose bands. So I actually have already changed out the nose band. The one I bought was just like a simple leather padded one, and I switched that out for my fuzzy. I had a mechanical hackmore that I don't use, but it had a fuzzy fleece nose band, so I put that on it. And then I just have like a plain leather chin strap at this point. But he took that fairly well. I did have to go through a retraining phrase, and we probably do stuff to do a refresher every time I get on him. That one of the biggest things is just him understanding like direct pressure for like if I want him to give versus halt, right? Like that feels to him probably feels very similar because I'm trying to put pressure on but keep him going. So some of that is a little bit confusing, and then getting him to turn without having to like pull his whole head. That was like the other big one we had to work through, is that I want you to turn just by like feeling me squeezing the rein and just feeling like maybe a wiggle on your right nose, on the right side of your nose, versus me having to pull your nose over. So those are some of the things that like you definitely are going to have to go through regardless of what hackmore you try. But my preferred setup is that I do have the noseband and the rein are straight across from each other. So that is like zero leverage. There's no leverage in that design. And the reason I wanted that is because I didn't want leverage, but I also didn't want it to flip up. So that is a risk with hackmores that have a little bit of leverage, where if you're trying to turn and you're using a direct rein, the piece can flip and start to dig into the horse's, the side of their face. Not always, but it is like it can happen depending how much pressure you're using or how much you're moving it around. And like I said, it's been going really well with him. I actually took it with me. I went to the ranch a few weeks ago and I took it with me at the ranch and ended up riding my regular ranch horse in it. And the first day I didn't even like need it at all. Like he didn't. I felt like I was riding in a bridle. The second day, I didn't have the brakes I normally have. And so that was a little annoying. But the horse had never been ridden in a hackmore before, and he had like the most mild hackmore he could, and he just wanted to like walk home really quickly, and I didn't really have much in the way of like, I couldn't really control him to stop him, or like I didn't want to stop him, I wanted to slow him down. And so that was really important. I didn't really get the chance to do it with him, but I got to do it on another horse. It's just like working on, it wasn't about holding him back or pulling him back or that the hackmore wasn't strong enough to stop him. It was, we have to clean up this cue that when I ask for slow, you need to respond, and that, you know, kind of just rebuilding what that cue looks like instead of just holding to hold them slow. It's about like, right, giving a cue, releasing right away as soon as they slow down, and like building up that duration.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Is you definitely have to with any of the bitless bridles that you try out there, you have to account for that learning curve, mm-hmm. right? 'Cause, I mean, there's a handful of times that all of us have ridden in our halters on our horses. While it goes moderately well because our horses are used to being navigated by hand with the halter, the bitless bridle itself isn't exactly the same setup as that. It's also not the exact same setup as a bitted bridle. So there's like a variation of pressure differences, and like your cues are a little bit different. So I know for me, especially with Trin, trying to like figure out how to bend her to the inside was really weird.
Well, and the other part of that is, you know, your cues are really unique to you. I think we, a lot of times, you know, inside leg to outside rein, like we know a lot of those cues are how you bend a horse or how you get a horse to move in certain directions. They are standard. But at the same time, they're also not standard because you have such a unique way of sitting. Your horse has such a unique way of responding that I think a lot of times we forget that those cues are actually quite unique to us and our horse, and that when we go switch to the Hackmore or whatever, there is going to be that curve where we have to now set up our own cues. And it can be whatever we want it to be in order to get the task accomplished. But we do have to go through that learning curve. So that's part of it, is trying to figure out like, okay, I do feel like I have less cues available to me than I did in a bit. But like, what new cues do I have? What other options or what other ways can I ask for this same thing without confusing my horse?
I kind of came to the conclusion whenever I found my bitless option that worked with Trent is that I think, and it goes completely backwards probably to what people think and definitely backwards to what shows and organizations would allow, I think I would much rather use my bitless option in like show jump and cross country and then use a bit in dressage. Because like, I'm not opposed to bits. I haven't quite explored all my cues that I have with the bitless option, but I know all the different aids and things I can ask for with the bit. And like, obviously we've ridden in a bit for so much longer that I get such a different horse with the bit on or in her mouth. When she's riding in the bit, obviously she carries herself very differently. Of course, as in part due to how the bit operates in her mouth and yada, yada, yada. Part of my big reason why I wanted to try bitless was because of the factor of how bits affect their breathing. And I think that's where I would see like the biggest improvement and the biggest change is using a bitless option while jumping.
I totally agree with that because I do understand that like if I was trying to ride Addie and get her put together, she a little bit more like Trent. She was a little bit more sophisticated in as far as her dressage training than Nim before I retired her. Nim's dressage training and his like, you know, I just need him to stretch. I just need him to relax. We're not going to like carry ourselves. We're not going to be up in a higher frame and showing more of that connection. That's just not where Nim. So for me, I found that, you know, it's enough. I just have to figure out how to ask for some of these things in a better way instead of just relying so much on my hands maybe to ask for them or so much on the bit. I have found with Nim, one of the better things that, or one of the things he stopped doing is he would grab the bit and bolt at times when he would get really nervous and get stressed out and didn't understand what was happening. He stopped thinking. He'd grab the bit and bolt for a few steps. Does not do that in the Hackmore. He has yet to just like throw his nose up and take off. Obviously, he can't grab a Hackmore, but he's not bolted on me once in it.
I did notice that Trin, she is a bit more off the forehand in her bitless option that she likes. She definitely pokes her nose out a lot more, which is totally fine. I get it. You know, we're adjusting to it and everything. If there is theoretically was a bit in her mouth, she's above the bit a lot more often. But her balance has had to change because she doesn't have the bit in her mouth. So like instances when she would pull on the bit or like lean into it, be really on the forehand, she can't balance off the bitless version the same way as she had been off the bit. One, probably haven't developed the bad habits yet, but two, it's a different, like she doesn't have that same thing to take and run away with.
So that's super interesting because I'm wondering if in the long run, will you have more moments of better in the bitless than you would in a bit? Because with the bit, if we are under the assumption, I mean, we do have to at some point acknowledge, right, that like the bit does operate off of pain, whether it's a lot of pain or a little bit of pain, whatever, it is discomfort. Same with the Hackmore. But do you think that she hits the bit at a certain point and that discomfort kind of brings her back into a frame, whether she's truly lifted and light and on, you know, carrying herself. And so she hits the bit, there's that discomfort point and she backs off of it, where in a Hackmore, she doesn't hit it the same way. And as the discomfort point doesn't affect her the same way. So she doesn't feel the need to back off of it. She thinks she's fine continuing with her nose higher up or in front of vertical.
Honestly, yes. I think that's spot on. I mean, there's no disagreeing with how bits operate, very same as how bitless operates, you know, pressure is to some degree causes discomfort and stuff. And I do know that I have been constantly working on getting her to always be in front of the vertical. And she goes behind way more frequently with the bit than she does with the bitless option in. She carries herself very differently. I think we will have a higher chance of getting correct movement and getting her to actually lift through her back when in the bitless option that I can then translate over back onto the bit. But I have noticed that when I use the bitless bridle, it's highlighted so many flaws I haven't realized that we really have. The bit has overcompensated for things that I've overlooked or like little discrepancies that have slowly developed over time that I've been able to kind of compensate for with the bit, that now with the bitless option, it's just been magnified and I realize like, oh, we are like really missing this key part of our foundation.
Well, and the thought that just came to me is that with a bit, your horse doesn't have the opportunity in the same way to basically challenge or question your hands or your aids, right? If they feel that that is a stronger cue, they're going to back off it and not ask questions. And you may not have the soft hands. You may not be holding with your core or using your legs and using your body correctly and asking them for 100%. But the bit acts as enough of an aid to get the horse back in place, where with that bitless bridle, the hackmore, it's not the same. You do have to be more correct and you do have to monitor yourself a lot more in order to get correct movement.
I don't know if anyone else has kind of come across this. I definitely noticed it with Trin, is that when I put the bitless option on, she was way more interested and kind of disengaging with me and looking up and around and spooking at different things. And like, I couldn't get her focus back onto me. Whereas in the bit, I eventually pull her attention back around to me more or less because there's something causing more discomfort than whatever she's spooking at. Then now she has to pay attention to that. It makes me realize that like, I need to make our rides more engaging. I need to make it so that way she's more willing to turn away from whatever cow she's picked at to look at in the field and make her come back around and like want to be worked and want to ride.
Interesting. Yeah, I have not had the same experience with Nim, or haven't noticed. Nim is Nim.
He's a special fella.
So he's always pretty anxious. I've actually felt that he's been more relaxed, that he hasn't had that to stress out about, because I do think the bit, I struggled to find a good bit for him. That was something that I became definitely more aware of prior to going to bitless, was that the bit I was using wasn't working. And he was in a KK, which isn't, just a loose ring KK, it just wasn't working for him. And then I switched him from that to the Nath. And the Nath was better, but it wasn't perfect. It wasn't all the way. And I feel that the bitless is a lot better option for him. He feels a lot more relaxed in it. And I think he's just a horse that the simpler, the better.
No, I could definitely see that. I guess I could talk about me and Trin's journey with our bitless options a little bit, because while you were able to knock it out of the park on the first try, ours was nowhere near similar. And I actually got to the point where I was wondering if bitless would actually be possible or feasible for Trin. I've mentioned it before. She is such a sensitive horse and she's pretty vocal when things don't fit or they're causing pain or discomfort. It has certainly made for like many frustrating rides, because I don't always realize right off the bat what is going on, or like I can't pinpoint what is causing the reactions for that day. So for example, many years we've struggled, and still honestly to this day, I don't even have a saddle that I can ride in, because we struggle with saddle fit issues. She's just very, very sensitive in her back and like very sensitive in her face and just a very sensitive horse. I kind of was worried that at some point we weren't going to be able to find a bitless bridle that would work, because she just couldn't handle the pressure that would go on her face, which then it turns around the question of, well, then she can't handle pressure on her face. How possible is she handling like the pressure of the bit? It's a double-edged sword. I ended up trying 3 different bitless bridles that we found, and eventually I found one that actually worked. And I'm confident in saying that it works because I documented our whole journey on my YouTube channel, Eventer Girl Probs, where I showed how she rode in all the different versions. And you can see a very clear finite difference when she rides in the one that she likes versus the others that she dislikes.
Okay, so which ones did you try? I think I know about 2 of them, but I don't know what the 3rd one is.
So the first one we tried was the Nalanta bridle. I've followed Yessa Drent for quite a while and was intrigued by his bitless bridle design, which was the Nalanta one. And it mimics that of the Wheel Hackmore style. And yes, hackmores are bitless bridles. It doesn't have a bit, therefore it is a bitless bridle. Even though it has very minimal leverage, it still has that slight hackmore effect. And I didn't realize at the time, but turns out Trin cannot stand any sort of leverage on her face. So, word to the wise.
She's very sensitive to, like, her pole pressure, I think, or...
So, I think I ended up going through it and kind of evaluating how it fit her versus the one that she does like. And what really didn't work for Trin with it was that, one, you have to tighten down the noseband a little bit more than that typical two-finger measurement that most use. And I naturally always leave our nosebands really loose. And so that was a bit of a discomfort to her. But you have to tighten it down. That way it works properly and doesn't twist around her face and twist the cheek pieces into her eyes. On top of that is occasionally how you mentioned the metal wheels would have a tendency to flip up. And they wouldn't always flip all the way up. They would flip to the side. That way, like, the corner of the wheel was, like, digging into her nose. She lost her mind over that. Especially with the Nalanta, I know some of them you can switch where the reins and the chin strap fall in relation to one another. So that way you lose that leverage effect. However, the Nalanta one, the way it's sewn on, unless you cut the chin strap off, you can't really change which slice of the wheel it sits on. And so I could never get rid of that. No matter how minimal it was, and it's so mild, I couldn't get rid of that leverage action, and she just couldn't handle it. And we had quite a few dramatic rides in it. One of those, we ended up running full head on into a tree. Part of that was probably due to saddle issues. Realize that. But, like, it got to the point where she was ducking away from the bridle so much, and I could not, like, communicate with her, that all communication just went out the window. And it was, you know, she's never done that before, which was really weird.
Yeah, that bridle is pretty well liked, too. I mean, that one has a lot of good reviews. It is. And a lot of people go to it. And the wheel, like, we're not discouraging it at all. This is just, like, you need to be patient with your horse, because there probably is a bitless bridle that works for your horse. You just have to be patient and find it. But the wheel hackmores are some of the most gentle. That, a side pull, and then the wheels, or whatever design of the wheel you get, are the most gentle hackmores or bitless options out there.
Oh, and I'm definitely hanging on to this bridle because I think in the future with a different horse, it'll work just fine. It just doesn't work for Trin. And that's what I'm trying to stress, is that it's a really mild hackmore. Like, it, the leverage action that it has is so minimal. It's very, very tiny.
like a D-ring snaffle leverage action, like, so minimal,
right? And yet for Trin that didn't work at all. So if you have a horse that, like, really doesn't like hackmores, or, like, just can't handle that type of pressure, it means one of those bridles isn't going to work for you, no matter how mild it is. It's just not going to work. The second one that we ended up testing out was after you sent me a Facebook video, which I just call it the Facebook hack bridle. And essentially what you do is
Oh, I forgot about that one, yeah.
Yeah, because the reason why I tried this one out was because you can just take your normal bridle that uses a bit, just remove the bit, do a few adjustments, and you can use it as a bitless bridle. I wanted to try that one out because that'd be a cheaper option than buying another bitless bridle. So that's why I went for this one. And what you can do is you get metal rings from your local hardware store. You grab one of your regular bridles that you use a bit with, just remove the bit, obviously. And then you set the cheek pieces and the noseband to the same height, attach the metal rings, one on each side of the noseband, and then attach your reins to the metal rings. And voila, you have hypothetically a bitless bridle.
Yeah, a very simple side pull. Yeah.
Kind of had a few things similar to the Nalanta bridle that Trin already didn't like. And so when I put this one on, and I didn't try them all out on one day, we went like a couple weeks trying one, a couple weeks trying the next, then on to the next one. That way, we had an adjustment period. I could account for changes in saddle when I started riding her bareback. That way we didn't have saddle fit issues influencing our reactions to things. And so what Trin really didn't like about the Facebook hack bridle was that, one, like the Nalanta, to prevent it twisting around her dome, I had to tighten the noseband down, and she just could not handle it. Does not like the noseband being tight. She doesn't like feeling that restriction around her nose, which I understand. And then on top of that, because the metal rings are just attached with the cheek pieces to the nosebands, they flipped up no matter what I did. I could not get them to lie down. And so they either were like halfway, like little wings off the side of her bridle, digging into the side of her nose, or they would flip all the way up and little metal rings kept hitting her cheekbones. And obviously, with how sensitive she is, anything hitting her cheekbones was like a, oh my God, it was quite alarming.
Gotcha.
I've had her since she was 8 years old. She's now 19. Never once has this horse cow kicked under saddle. And when I tried that one out, she did that, which was like a very weird reaction. And now she's discovered that she can cow kick under saddle, and that's become her new favorite pastime. But before that.
Oh, nice.
But like before that, she'd never done it before. And so it was this bridal that like triggered that reaction, which was so strange. And on top of that, with both these options, she was like flipping her head nonstop and could not settle. Anytime I would put any pressure on it, her head would immediately flip. She just didn't want it, didn't accept any of the pressure, didn't like it. And I was like, all right, we gotta switch something up because obviously you're gonna get a headache if you keep shaking your head the way you're doing it.
Poor girl. Poor girl.
I know. My poor horse. She's very sensitive and then very vocal about her sensitivity, which is good because I don't want her shutting down or anything, but at the same time, boy, is it expensive for how sensitive she is.
I'm glad that you're trying this all out. I know. I'm glad my first attempt. Actually, I did realize while you were talking, I tried a different one a while ago. And so this is technically my second attempt.
Well, our third one, our success story, is with the Dressage Naturally Bitless Halter, which this was another one that you turned me on to. Karen Rolfe makes this one. And after watching her video on her website of how it works, I was like, damn, I gotta try this. Because it addressed everything that Trin was having issues with the other bridles. For one, the noseband didn't need to be tightened down to prevent slippage. She's made it in such a way that you could have the noseband set loosely. In fact, she says, don't tighten the noseband down. It's not intended for that. Set it loosely and it'll work just fine. She shows in the video that she can rotate it all the way around her horse's face and like the cheek pieces never once come in contact with your horse's eye, which is very relieving because that was one issue that Trin had with all the others was that she didn't like the tight noseband. Even before that, riding with a bit, I don't tighten her noseband down because she doesn't like her tight noseband. The other thing with this one was the metal rings. And I noticed this with a few other styles, like the Transcend Bridle has a similar setup with how the metal rings are attached and how they're sewn onto the noseband in such a way that it prevents them from flipping up with the pressure of the reins. So I don't have that issue. You don't have to run into the issue of the metal rings doing whatever the heck they do and not following the laws of gravity, which was very frustrating. And then the cheek pieces for the Dressage Naturally Bitless Halter actually landed far enough back from her eye that they mimic that of kind of the Quantum Bridle and the Steuben Freedom Bridle anatomical designs in which they avoid the TMJ and those sensitive nerves right in there and don't apply like hardly any pressure, which I thought was really cool because I kind of was going along the lines that I would have to give up the anatomical feature of a bridle if I was going bitless, which Trin mm-hmm. does not like standard bridles. We found that out the hard way. She likes her anatomical bridles. So I was really excited when I found one that kind of operated under the same guidelines and avoided that sensitive nerve by her eyes and like by their ears where a lot of issues have been seen in horses, as well as it has a really wide pull piece to help disperse pressure over her pole. And then the noseband itself operates more as a side pole rather than a hackmore like others do. So the chin strap or the backside of the noseband doesn't have any leverage, which Trin could not stand. So I was so grateful that we didn't have any leverage. And the only thing that has like kind of been a bummer with it that it's fine. It doesn't really matter too much is that it doesn't come with a brow band. And while I tried putting a brow band on, it never really sat right. Most horses, this isn't an issue, but for Trin, I don't know what's wrong with her head. She's always had this with halters, but it just slides back past her pole and like down her neck a little bit, like 6 inches down her neck, which looks weird, but I guess is fine, right? Like I'm more focused on the noseband factor than what the crown piece is doing. It just means that like we really have no pole pressure and Trin is fine with that.
Yeah, I liked the look of that bridle and that is definitely on my to buy list for when Hudson is ready for a bridle. He's still a little ways out, but that is definitely the one that I would be purchasing for him because it does look the simplest. It looks like you get the anatomical design features as well. And then, yeah, it's just a very nice, simple side pole. And you can figure out where your horse fits on the scale of stronger, milder from there.
Yeah, and so it's essentially a side pole, right? Like a lot of these bitless options that we're talking about, like the bitless bridles, they've already been around. Hackmores, you just made them more mild into the wheel and the flower. Side poles, you just made it more mild by turning it into soft leather rather than stiff rope with knots on it.
Yeah, because we have side poles at Hagee. You used to use side poles and little S's and stuff on your gaming ponies. So we've got like hard, like they're not the rawhide rope, but it's like that hard plastic rope that I would never, it just doesn't seem comfortable enough.
It's certainly not comfortable.
Yeah, maybe with enough fleece. It could be comfortable.
I mean, and we even read through studies that looked at comparing how horses respond to the pressure of like a bit versus bitless versus like side poles. And those studies noted that horses were less likely to put or they put significantly less pressure on the side pole than that of any of the other options, because it had a tendency to be a bit harsher. While there's versions of these bitless options that are harsher, these ones that we're talking about are very mild. And so, like, a lot of these bitless bridles that you see out there are mild versions of this stuff, and they work. Like, the side pole for Trin, if you have a horse that really cannot stand that chin pressure, look at, like, a style of the Transcend bridle or the Dressage Naturally bitless halter, because that's what I found has worked the best for Trin.
Yeah, I think one of the things with Hackmores is it is one of those areas where you do sort of have to make the splurge. It is frustrating that you purchased the Nalanta bridle because it's not cheap and that didn't work. If you are interested, you know, in trying to try some of these options on the cheap, borrowing from friends, the wheel Hackmore I'd highly recommend, because you can just buy the wheels and then buy whatever noseband you want to go with it. You have to buy like a specific Hackmore noseband. It's not just a regular bridle noseband. The one thing to keep in mind is that a lot of times your English bridle is probably not going to fit with a Hackmore. You are probably going to have to buy a new bridle, because the Hackmore is going to have to hang higher on their face than the bit, right? It's going to hang up above where the bit would be, up above their mouth. So your cheek pieces or crown piece probably isn't short enough. The only bridle I have are my Western bridles. They seem to have many more holes than an English bridle, and they're easier to adjust. So I had to buy, or I didn't have to buy, but I'm using my Western bridles. So that's one of the big things to keep in mind, is that even if you do buy a Hackmore that you really like, it may not work on the bridle you have because the fitting is totally different. So looking at the, you may be looking at buying something like the Nalanta bridle or the Dressage Naturally bridle, or I think the Michelin has a side pull version. There's a range of different bridles, but it is something to keep in mind. You might not be able to just buy a Hackmore.
And I think for the biggest, one of the biggest factors for me, especially going forward, that I would recommend for anyone looking at it, no matter what option you're going for, like the, if it mimics that of a Hackmore or a side pull, look at how the noseband tightness has to work. Because I think even with like the Michelin side pull version, I think you have to tighten down the noseband a little bit. That way you're not pulling the bridle and the cheek pieces into your horse's eye. And that for some horses will not work. So you just, and there's definitely like wheel version Hackmores out there that you can leave it a lot looser. You don't have to tighten it down to ensure that doesn't slip around. So like look at the kind of pressure that your horse is going to prefer. Are they going to want the side pull or the Hackmore style? And then can they handle a tighter noseband, or do you want to keep your noseband looser? That's going to be your biggest deciding factors.
Yeah. And my wheel, I don't feel like I have to tighten it that much, but I do have a fairly soft noseband. So the noseband fits pretty well because it is that fleece. It's an older fleece noseband I've had forever versus like maybe a stiffer leather one or a synthetic one. You may have to tighten more in order to get it to conform to the face and keep it fitted.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think what would be, why yours had to be so much tighter than mine were. Because mine, I don't feel like are tight at all. But it also, I don't feel like it's sliding around.
It's not like tightness in terms of like, I'm cranking it down on my horse's face. It's more of like, instead of being able to fit two fingers, you can only fit one. So it, you know, it's not cranked on her face, but it does have to be a little bit tighter. And Trin, that just didn't work. Some of the other ones, the Facebook hack one, I had to tighten the noseband a little bit, like one hole past what our tradition, what our standard setting is, and that she didn't like. She couldn't handle it.
So I do watch like a lot of YouTube videos of other people trying Hackmores for the first time, right? They've bought the wheel Hackmore, they've bought the Nalanta bridle, whatever it is. And one of the big mistakes I see a lot of them make is that they attempt to ride the exact same way they have been in a bridle in the Hackmore. And you watch the video and the horse is like so behind vertical, or they're super hollow in front of their withers. And so if you're watching those videos and going like, oh, those horses don't look like they move well in a Hackmore, it's often because the rider hasn't adjusted how they're using their hands, and the horse is saying, oh, this feels way different than normal. And there's some miscommunication going on. No one has set up or established those new cues we were talking about in the beginning. So I do find that really frustrating when I watch these videos, because a lot of times the horses are not moving well in the Hackmores that the people are test riding in. And I think it's because they've gotten on with the same expectations they had when they had a bridle on that horse and expecting the horse to move the same way.
You know what I also find frustrating? And I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. To me, I don't super like it. But a lot of times you see the people, they warm up in their regular bridle, which I totally understand why, right? Because you don't know how your horse is going to react to it. Some people, like, are they going to take off? Am I going to lose control? Like, how is my horse going to respond to it? So they warm up in their traditional bridle. That way they got the horse warmed up, ready to go, relaxed, stretching, whatever. But I feel like that kind of already sets the tone for the bridle. And so you're not getting an authentic reaction from your horse as you would, you know, the next time you pull them out and just pop the bridle straight on. I think a better style to go about introducing it to them would be working with them on the ground first and trying to like show them the cues that this bridle, how it's going to operate on their face, and then getting on with it. I think that's how to get the most authentic reaction with your horse, rather than, you know, schooling for like 30, 40 minutes in your regular bridle, then popping the bitless on for 10 minutes and be like, oh my God, it makes such a big difference. Or like, they ride just the same. I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily as accurate of a representation of how the bridle works as it could be.
Yeah, sure. I hadn't seen that one, that style yet. But yeah, you definitely want to start cold in it and just go slow. You know, don't expect the same results. Don't expect to be schooling at the same level or the same quality of movement. Do expect there to be some clunks. Do expect that your horse suddenly doesn't know how to turn because you're suddenly asking him with a totally different set of cues, and that it does take time to go through that transition period. Exciting news. Hudson wore his first bridle this week.
Oh, how did he like it? How did he take to it?
Well, it's the wheel hack more, so I've just used the same bridle I've been using on everyone else. And because we've done lots of exercises in the halter about like how to turn your head and apply a pressure, so far he knows how to stop, turn, and back up with me assisting. Obviously, I wasn't just able to like do stand back by his withers. I had to like, to get him to back up, I had to like physically turn around, give him his backup cue as if, you know, he was just in a halter. But I also kept the pressure on the reins to show him like these two things are going to happen at the same time. And he seemed to handle everything pretty well. So I'm excited for him. We're going to start with teaching him how to do stuff in the hackmore, and then we'll move to the neck rope. So he'll hopefully be trained up on the neck rope before even go to get on.
Oh, that's exciting. Good boy, Hudson.
I know, he's making little baby steps, little baby steps, because he's just turned 2 in April. So like, he's got plenty of time. I don't plan to ride him until he's 4. So we want everything to be perfect on the ground first.
Wow. You got your pony growing up. My pony's growing up. Gosh, all of them are growing up.
They're getting so old and so fat.
Oh my God. Fletch has, he's so fat. He's so fat. And I've told him he's fat. I even got him a second grazing muzzle. Heck, I'm going to start putting 2 grazing muzzles on him at a time. Like, the pony is so fat. And he wears a grazing muzzle 24/7. And yet, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how he's managing it.
Aw, poor Fletch.
And I know it's abuse to let him eat so much, but like, I've tried. I don't have a smaller area I can lock him up. I don't have a big enough pasture that I can like section off a quarter for him. And it's just,
Can you lock him in the stall for like part of the day?
There's no door or anything. And there's not a way that I could like set up a door really for him.
What about like a gate? Can you set up a gate?
I don't know. Maybe, but then if I do that, then Trin doesn't have her stall to go in during the day.
Does she go in it during the day?
Yeah. So, like, when it's hot out, Trin is always in the stall, but when it's cold and rainy, then she's not in her stall.
Well, I'm sorry.
As you should be. It's all your fault.
Well, maybe you should lock them both up during the day in the stall, and then they can graze at night.
I would.
But then you have to clean the stall.
And the stall's not big enough. Also, Trin sprints from end of field to end of field whenever a horsefly comes near her. So, and they would fly into the stall, and I just can't imagine how she would deal with that.
Well, this really sounds like your stall is poorly designed, and this is really on you.
I'm going to blame North Carolina and the horse flies.
You did not build the perfect palace for your ponies, and now they're suffering the consequences of your poor construction methods and techniques.
Oh, do not come for my construction. At least 3 of the screws on that building I put in myself.
Oh, yeah?
Sean did the rest.
It's okay. When I had to replace the roofs, I had to fix the roofs on the shelters.
Don't talk me
about I did not bend it at all. He just handed me, like, some of the stuff. I just handed him. We just, like, handed the metal and stuff back and forth. That was it. I didn't do nothing. He did it all. And apparently, I don't know if you've ever tried to screw into, because they're the noble, it's the metal, and you have to like screw the screws through the sheet metal into the steel, thing, the steel bars. Apparently, that's really challenging.
Oh, I know. I know about doing the shelter or the roofing on those shelters. don't know if you remember, briefly, summer before I left for my freshman year of college, I was working on the horse shelters, doing the roofing, pulling off the old sheet metal to help replace the tar paper beneath, and doing other stuff. And as I was unscrewing the sheet metal, I got one piece stuck on the roof. And I got down off the ladder because I was like, huh, maybe I should go get my mom so she can come help me get this off because I was doing it all by myself. And when I was on the ground, I heard a shh noise as the sheet metal unstuck itself, slid off the roof, and stabbed me in the forehead, resulting in me having to be rushed to the hospital and get multiple stitches put in my forehead. And then I had to go to college freshman year and be introduced as Scarface.
Oh my gosh, Robin, that happened to you?
A more authentic reaction would be appreciated. That was traumatizing.
Oh no, not the insert injured body part here. You got hurt. My phone did totally not cut out while you were talking.
Do I need to retell the story?
You smashed your head. The thing smashed into your head and you had to get stitches, and then an ambulance showed up, but then you didn't take the ambulance into town. You drove the car and then you went to the hospital and they stitched your head up. Did I miss a part?
I feel like you're really belittling the story. I got hit with a piece of sheet metal and had to get 14 stitches in my forehead. And then I had to go to college as Scarface my freshman year.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I got a cut on my hand when I...
It doesn't make me feel any better. How could you? You know, I wasn't going to go there, but I feel the world needs to know.
Wow, no, 14 no, no, stitches? No. Did you say... Wait. Did you say 14 stitches? 14 was the number?
Yeah, 14 stitches in my head.
Wow, okay. So no, I thought it was 4. So like, wow, I'm... Wow, 14? And then to college? Ouch!
Okay, you're belittling the pain that I went through. There was so much blood. I'm just gonna, you know what, guys? You're the tough Kelsey that you've all heard much about. Yeah, guess what? This chick broke her leg chasing an invisible horse.
Okay, so that's a little bit below the belt. You did forget to mention I was like 3 at the time.
I don't think you were 3. I think it was more like 5, so much older.
I was in that range, and all I know was that it was dinner time, and Black Beauty was not coming in to eat his dinner. Okay? Okay? He ran across that wood pile, so did I, and he was fine. So, I don't really know why it fell for me and not for him, but... Actually, you know what? The truth is, Robin, if you want to talk about really tough Kelsey was trapped under a pile of wood with a broken leg, and I was laying there, and I distinctly remember being like, shit, I have to cry now, otherwise my parents will never come and find me. And be like, just laying there going, wah, because I didn't know how to make myself cry, so I just made the wah noise until my parents found me. So
you might need to talk to a therapist about that.
So tough Kelsey, that's right. Little 5-year-old Kelsey trapped under a wood pile with a broken leg, going, wah, wah.
Why?
Wah.
I didn't cry during mine either. All my nerves got severed, so I didn't really feel it too much until later.
Yeah, but you were like in college, so, you know.
I was not yet in college. I was 18. And I'm sorry, 14 stitches in your head is going to hurt regardless.
Well, I had a boo-boo on my leg.
Or what about the time when I was riding
We're done.
No. What about the time when I was riding Stewie and he did his little buck rear thing, smashed me in the face with his head, and I bit through my lip? That sucked too.
Yeah. Well, what about the time when the dog bit my lip and ripped it and I had to get stitches to get my lip put back together?
What about that time when Cirrus kicked you in the foot while we were racing on Cirrus and Dublin and you thought your toe got detached?
Okay, my toe did get detached. It had to be stitched back on, okay? I saw the bone. And again, let's talk about tough Kelsey. Tough Kelsey, that happened at like 11 a.m. Kelsey didn't go to the hospital until like 7 o'clock at night when mom got home and was like, oh, that's a lot worse than you said on the phone. We need to go now. So again, tough Kelsey, who underplayed getting her toe disconnected. Okay, like, it was still, bone was still there. I didn't break the bone, but it, like, all this, it, I could see the bone is what I'm telling you. Also, is there going to be a disclaimer on this graphic portion of the episode?
I don't know.
Warning, do not continue unless you like the sound of blood. The sound of blood? The sound of people talking about blood.
The sound of blood would be like, or something.
Is that what your head sounded like?
No, my head sounded hollow because I got hit really hard. All right. Do you have anything else worth of value to share today, or are we good?
I've got things that are valuable and should be shared. But I think I've done enough damage so far. So I'll hold on to those valuable stories for another day.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our comeback episode. Stay tuned. Maybe there'll be another
one. This is not the comeback. This is not the comeback. Do not let people, like, we're coming back. I just want you to know that the comeback episode, I've never seen Rocky, but I feel like that's an appropriate name to drop while coming back, is like, we're going to Rocky this. In some situation, we're gonna have a really banger episode, is what I'm saying. When we come back, this is like the amuse-bouche before the main course.
Or we won't. Who knows? But if you have questions, comments, concerns, you can always reach out to us on Instagram at inthebarn.pod, or you can send us emails at inthebarnpod@gmail.com, or you can say nothing. So that's always an option. But hope you guys liked it. Remember to stay safe, stay classy, and stay in the saddle.
And watch out for flying sheet metal. It might hit you in the head.
That was dramatic!